All right. Welcome to another episode of the Pro Football Doc Podcast, Sports Injury Central Podcast. Excited to welcome our special guest here, Michael Fabiano, Mr. Fantasy, Mr. Everything Football, year round, et cetera. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Doc. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I mean, are you bored now? I mean, I saw in your post you're putting hand soap in fountains. I mean, is it that slow? No, what is going on?
I didn't
on
even
in your
do that on purpose. Like, so I have this fountain that I put outside my house, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna clean it. So, like, I'll put a little bit of hand soap in there.
Okay.
And, you know, let it process through. And it turned into this big giant bubble with a light in the middle. It actually looked pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, right now we're kind of in the calm before the storm. We're waiting for the draft, which is going to be going down here shortly, April 25th. And then we're going to have a lot of answers. And then at that point, we'll basically have everything put together from free agency, rookies, where they're playing, what their potential draft or depth chart position might be. And then you get to a pretty realistic look at player rankings for 2024.
Gotcha. So I was thinking maybe you had little kids like me and you were trying to do something with the thing. No. You were just trying to clean the fountain.
I literally was like just trying to clean it. And then I went outside last night and I'm like, holy cow, this is pretty freaking cool. Like, it was just a big giant bubble. Yeah.
And so did you ever get all the soap out, or are you all right?
I did. Yeah, I did. Yep. I did. I got a hose. Well, first off, I actually was like a little kid. I was grabbing all the bubbles and kind of like pushing them out and stuff like that, like a kid does when they have a bubble bath when they're young. And then I ended up hosing it out this morning. So the fountain's looking good.
So a fantasy expert and fountain bubble expert.
Dude, but I just bought my first house last year, Doc. And so and I'm Italian, and the Italians, we love doing landscaping and planting and all this kind of stuff. Like, the Italian has really come out in me since I've bought a house, because all I do outside of working, in terms of my fantasy football work and all that, is I'm outside doing landscaping kind of stuff. It's kind of fun, actually.
That's not me. I try and get everyone else to do it. Latest project is there's a few bees in the backyard. My wife's like, you got to get rid of it. Okay. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, we'll get the beekeeper guy.
Get the beekeeper guy. Okay. So fantasy work, you're waiting. So you mentioned that obviously the draft, but before you get to the draft, how do you factor into all these big contracts that are being handed out? Does that affect your rankings? Do you impugn usage out of that or whatever? Devonta Smith just got an extension for the Eagles. How do you take that into account with what you do?
Contracts are obviously a huge part of, you know, the NFL and the salary cap, and we're always keeping tabs on that. But to be quite honest with you, it's something that you keep in the back of your mind. Like, for example, you know, T. Higgins, he's gotten tagged. At some point, the Bengals down the line are going to have to find a way to pay him. And so you consider that more in a dynasty situation, because what if he's not with the Bengals, you know, next season or the season after that, and he's catching passes from someone else? It's more of a long-term look. So you're looking at contracts in that fashion, and you're looking at when players' contracts might be up and they're looking to put up a good season so they get maximum payment from their current or a new team the following season. So you're looking at that as well. But like when Devonta Smith gets an extension, great for him. It doesn't really increase or decrease his fantasy value. For me, it's more of, you know, like a Brandon Ayuk. There were rumors that he wanted to be traded, and then his agent said, wait a minute, hold your horses. But we know that guy like Brandon Ayuk, who's been very good from a fantasy perspective, is probably going to come out and try to have his best season statistically so he can maximize his value on the open market once he does become a free agent. But I really think those are the limitations to how contracts in a redraft, at least in terms of rankings, would really affect fantasy football. It's more of looking ahead. And those of us in dynasty leagues, and I'm in a couple of them, know quite well, like, okay, Justin Jefferson, best wide receiver in the league. Is he the best fantasy wide receiver in the league? Kirk Cousins is gone now. And we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It's Sam Darnold at this point. It could be JJ McCarthy. I mean, we don't know. So that would factor into it too. And you're looking at long-term, all right, how many years does Justin Jefferson have left on his contract? Will he be happy without Kirk Cousins? What do the Vikings do at quarterback? So there are also those sort of scenarios that will play out in trying to determine a player's value. But again, that's more long-term.
Got it. So in terms of T. Higgins, we talked about contract and his status and so forth. Bigger effect on T. Higgins for this season, for fantasy and otherwise, his contract status or Joe Burrow's health?
Well, no, Joe Burrow's health. Because if T. Higgins is playing, and right now from what we've heard, he anticipates playing for the Bengals. I would love to see him get traded to Buffalo, to be honest with you. The Bills just acquired a second-round pick in 2025 in the Stephon Diggs trade. Send that to Cincinnati and, you know, maybe another late round pick and get T. Higgins. And then Josh Allen has his alpha. T. Higgins becomes a potential number one in fantasy. And then Ja'Marr Chase stays a star. And maybe the Bengals draft a Brian Thompson Jr. in the first round. And all of a sudden you got all these LSU dudes, right? Burrow and Chase and Thompson Jr. I would love to see that happen, but no, it's all about the health of the quarterback in this scenario. We saw Jake Browning play pretty well last year, but still, you know, the numbers of Ja'Marr were down, and obviously T. Higgins was dealing with injuries, and when he did play, a lot of times he wasn't that great. So Burrow is certainly more valuable than Higgins, unless we're talking about a contract that a player might hold out on, right? I mean, you're hearing already about CeeDee Lamb. I'm like, oh, come on. As a Cowboys fan, I'm already fed up with stupid Jerry Jones, but if there's a scenario where a player's contract might cause them to hold out, then that could be problematic, certainly. But, you know, we're only here in April, and we don't know what scenarios may or may not play out in terms of a contract holdout for CeeDee Lamb or others.
Well, in terms of Joe Burrows, everything we've said at Sports Injury Central has so far come true. When it happened, we went out on a limb and said it was a scapholunate ligament tear, which is unusual, right? That's why he couldn't even follow through. And it really hasn't happened in the NFL and football. So it was a lot of unknown, and of course he would need surgery. But that surgery's been announced, and we always opine that the recovery from that is very reliable. So we don't really see this as a big deal. Mm-hmm. And remember, and I think Joe Burrow will be healthy well ahead of training camp in the preseason. But then again, he has never played in the preseason and never done anything in the preseason. One year was COVID. One year was his appendix. One year was coming off the ACL. Last year it was the calf. And, you know, I think he'll be okay with the wrist, but I think they're solid on a pattern that they don't play him in the preseason anyways. But come the regular season, I think Joe Burrow will actually be fine in terms of injury. So whatever that means for T. Higgins. My bigger question for you, and I think it's intriguing that you think about a trade for T. Higgins. I see how that would make sense. In my time in the NFL, we had some good wide receivers under Phillip Rivers. And here's the thing. Because you're a great two, how does that does it? Does it not? How do you judge translating into a great one, right? Sometimes you're a great two because you are a two and there's a one that's attracting the attention. How do you figure, let's say T. Higgins goes to Buffalo, are you anointing him as the one and treating him like a one, or how do you judge that? Because it's not the same thing being a great two and a great one. It doesn't always translate.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase certainly helps to draw defenses, but I just think of T. Higgins as a one. I think if the Bengals hadn't drafted Ja'Marr Chase, maybe they drafted Penei Sewell instead. Higgins would be a number one, not only in real football, but in fantasy football terms. And then you also have to look at volume too, Doc. Volume is king in fantasy football. If you send him to Buffalo, where Stephon Diggs had been averaging, 160 targets? And oh, by the way, Gabe Davis ain't there anymore either. Well, holy cow. You're looking at T. Higgins getting 140 or 150 targets, probably maybe even on the low end, and getting a ton of opportunities in an offense with a really good quarterback in Josh Allen, who to me is better than Joe Burrow. And from a fantasy perspective, that's certain. That would be a huge win for the Bills and for fantasy managers. No doubt about that. You know, we talk about a player's talent, and I'll make the comparison here, right? Roma Dunze has been projected to go to the Chicago Bears in the top 10 in a lot of mock drafts by a lot of people that I have a lot of faith in and respect for. Now, mock drafts, you know, how many of these guys did they actually pick right? But Dunze is head and shoulders more talented than just about every wide receiver in the class, except for, you know, maybe Malik Nabers and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. But if he goes to the Bears, volume's not going to be there. They have Keenan Allen and they have DJ Moore and they have Cole Kmet. Like, volume's not going to be there. So if the Bills don't acquire T. Higgins, and again, that would be a pie in the sky scenario from a fantasy perspective, whoever they draft, and, you know, maybe it's a wide receiver in round one, maybe Brian Thompson falls to them. I don't think he'll fall that far in round one. There's some other wide receivers that will be available. That wide receiver who ends up in Buffalo will be ranked higher from a fantasy perspective in redrafts ahead of Odunze. Why? Volume, opportunities, and that's key. And that's why when people try to rank, and I do it too, I'm guilty too, try to rank rookies from a fantasy perspective, it is an absolute exercise in futility, because you do not know what a player's value is going to be until you know a player's location, the team that drafts him, and what he's got to compete against on the depth chart.
No, that's a great point. That's why you're the ultimate fantasy expert here. I dabble in fantasy, Michael. I don't know if you know this. The only fantasy I've ever done really is the Scott Fish Bowl. I've been lucky enough to do that a couple of years. And this year I was horrific. The first 3 years I actually did well, won the league a couple of times, always made the playoffs. I called myself the Marty Schottenheimer. I love Coach Marty. I'd win the regular season, couldn't win in the playoffs. Yeah. So last year I took someone's advice that you got to draft more high ceiling, which also gave you lower floor. And my fantasy team was horrific last year. I was in basically last place due to injuries, no less, and other things. And look, I had Aaron Rodgers. How about that one?
That hurt. Yeah, that hurt. By the way, speaking of the Jets, they did right by the fans and by anybody who loves uniforms. They went back to the 1980s logo. They revealed that this week. And those uniforms are fire. Love them. Sorry. As you can tell by my helmet collection, I am a big fan of NFL helmets and jerseys, et cetera. And the Jets going back to the 80s logo is a big win.
All right. All right. So I have a fantasy question for you. Okay. So last week I took my son to an afternoon Padres game. He's 11. He's a big Padres fan. And he always rolls his eyes at me. There were a couple of guys that came up, "Oh, you're Dr. Chow, you know, can I get a picture? You help me win my fantasy league every year, but I don't tell my friends about you." So how do I get over that? Like, I'm helping these people, you know, win, but these fantasy guys, like, they're not telling their friends because they're like, they play against them in fantasy. Well, how do I get through that barrier?
Getting through the barrier of people helping or being helped by your advice?
No, getting through the barrier, spreading the word that we have good stuff here, because people don't want to spread the word because they don't want their friends to catch on.
I'll retweet you. Well,
there you go.
Anytime you want. But I mean, of course, like, injuries are such a huge part of the National Football League. We had 66 quarterbacks play last year. Quarterback was an S show. And so someone like yourself who has been in the trenches, in the trainers' rooms, in professional franchises, I mean, like, you're very valuable. And so I'm surprised more people don't know that they should be going to Dr. Chow when you're looking for injury advice and projecting where a player might be drafted if he's coming off of an injury, like Jonathan Brooks from Texas, who's coming off an ACL, late season ACL, and all of a sudden you hear, well, he's going to be cleared by July 1st. Wow. Like, you and I, and especially you, remember when ACLs took a player a year before he really got back to having, like, real mental, physical confidence in that ligament. And now, I mean, hell, these guys are coming back in like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand, when you get reports that Jonathan Brooks looks good at recheck combines and nobody cared and everything's fine, where do you think that information is coming from? Okay.
His agent,
and it's never going to be negative, right? And because of HIPAA, if it's negative, he can suppress the information. And the league has done a good job of not getting reporters to leak information anymore. And so all you're going to hear is more positivity. Here's the thing about Jonathan Brooks. I'm not doubting his talent, but from a medical perspective, as much as people have done better with ACL recoveries, it's still a hurdle. I will be the first to admit Breece Hall did better than we thought they would this year. Okay. But how did Saquon Barkley do his first year back off of ACL? Not so good. And all the fantasy people said they didn't like him anymore. And we jumped on him year two back, right? And he's made a nice rebound. So Jonathan Brooks, the problem there with him isn't his skill, isn't the late season. It's you're asking a guy to recover from an ACL, and 95% of the time they can get back to the same level. But you're asking him to recover from an injury and jump a level of play. You're asking him to do two things. And yes, he may be ready July 1, but he's missing some of the offseason program. So you're asking a guy who may not be 100% to jump a level of play. So I would be more guarded on Brooks, at least for this year.
See, now, this is why your information is valuable. Like, you know, you and I could talk like this for hours.
Yeah.
Right. I could ask you about Michael Penix, who's had a couple of ACLs coming out of college. You know, like I could talk to you for hours about this, and that's why you're the best.
We can do it, but you know, you got the heart out here. So, I'm just joking. And by the way, I was honestly just, look, I'm a bad podcast host. I don't really prepare very well. I just like having conversations with people. And I had no idea. I brought up the Padre thing, but the number one thing people do when I do read Twitter comments, they say, thanks a lot, but I don't tell my friends. That's a recurring thing. So I guess I found a way to beg for retweets from you. So thank you.
Yeah, anytime you need it, Doc. And yeah, listen, fantasy football people are smart. If there's somebody out there giving information that's valuable, especially when it comes to injuries, they will find it. So,
yep. All right. So in the interest of your time and so forth, so tell us, okay, you're with SI. All good there? I mean, look, it doesn't matter if SI goes away or not. You're going to land on your feet somewhere else. Someone's going to snatch you up. But what's going on there?
A lot of stuff I can't really talk about. It's been a very complicated and stressful, 2024, let's be quite honest with you. But I will tell you that you're going to be able to find me where I've been in the very near future. So keep tabs on my social media at @Michael_Fabiano on the artist formerly known as X or Twitter, whatever it is now. And you'll be able to find me. And there's going to be some other news coming down the pike as well as it pertains to podcasts, radio, etc. So I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I know you're always a force everywhere. So just asking about that. Out of respect for your time, you had a hard out. We'll let you go. Anything else you want to say on the way out? A surprise at the draft, a big fantasy up or down surprise. Give us a nugget on your way out or whatever you want to talk about.
Something I would love to see happen. And there are several like items on my wish list for the draft. T. Higgins getting traded to Buffalo is one of them. The Cowboys drafting a running back, either Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson, is another one. But one that I really would like to see goes back to Minnesota without Kirk Cousins. I would love to see the Vikings trade their 2 1s and next year's one to move up to 3 to New England's spot and get Drake May, assuming that Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. So they would get either Daniels or Drake May. Sam Darnold is a journeyman quarterback, and I get it. You know, he's never played in a good offense with a lot of talent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whatever. But I mean, guys do not jump teams this much in a short period of time if they were really potential number one quarterbacks in the National Football League. And Darnold is just another list of USC quarterbacks outside of Carson Palmer who have failed at the NFL level. I think Caleb Williams will be fine. I don't think he'll be a part of that list. But I would love to see the Vikings get some sort of franchise quarterback and not have Sam Darnold back there because they have too much value. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, long-term, and Drake May. And listen, I mean, comparisons are what they are, but he's drawn a lot of comparisons to Josh Allen. He's a guy who can run with the football, big arm, you know, guys coming out of North Carolina at quarterback have not done all that well in the NFL, but he certainly is the best prospect that's come out of that college at quarterback. And you know, Mitch Trubisky, just everybody in the league screwed that one up and the Bears drank the Kool-Aid and paid for it for a while. But if the Vikings could move up, trade their two ones this year and a one next year, and then get Drake May and potentially another late round pick in return from New England, it's a win-win. They get their franchise quarterback. Fantasy managers get a good young quarterback who could potentially be the franchise signal caller and help the value of Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson. And then on the New England side, They're in rebuild mode. So they would get two ones. They'd get a one next year. And that would go a long way to helping their rebuilding process not be as long as it might be if they had just stayed at three and drafted either Daniels or May, because they need more work and more help than just a quarterback.
Well, Michael Fabiano, not just fantasy deal maker. He's got a Buffalo trade for T. Higgins, this New England, Minnesota. I like it.
Everything is through like my fantasy rose-colored glasses, and they're probably not going to happen, but I would love to see it.
Spoken like a Justin Jefferson dynasty owner.
Ah, we all love JJ. We just don't want Darnold throwing him the football. That's just scary. I mean, listen, Darnold's better than what they had last year with Nick Mullins, and JJ was fine, but he wasn't as consistent. And I know everyone likes to crap on Kirk Cousins. This guy has made boatloads of dough being what he is, which is a good NFL quarterback who, you know, hasn't gone to the playoffs or won playoff games. I mean, but at the end of the day, he's still a really good player. And I know Justin Jefferson's awesome, but I worry about his consistent level of elite production without Cousins. And so if you bring in a Drake May, who can be the franchise quarterback for the next, you know, 5 to 8 years, whatever the case may be, I would love to see that for JJ, for Addison and Hockenson as well.
All right. So after the draft, Michael Fabiano will have all his rankings out, study up and get ready, all fantasy football fans. Thank you for your time here, and we'll chat again soon, anytime, my friend.
Always great to see you, Doc. Take care.
All right. We'll return soon for part two of the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast.